Exodus 33, and I want to ask you a question before I get started in the message this morning. Where are you in your spiritual life? It's not where do you want to be, not where have you been. As we are here this morning, where are you right now? Where are you? I hope that at the very least, that if you're sitting under the sound of my voice or you've joined us by live stream, that you'd be able to say, well, you know this, I know I'm saved. I know that I have received Jesus as my personal Savior. I know that much. I know I'm saved. Well, I'm glad and I'm thankful. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. And then if you could say, well, I'm saved and I have followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Praise the Lord. That's great. That's what you ought to do when you get saved. You ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Say, well, now I'm saved, and I follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and I am a member of a New Testament local church, a Bible-believing, autonomous, indigenous local church. Well, praise the Lord. You ought to be. Amen. Thank God for that. Well, I'm saved, and I've been baptized, and I'm a member of a local New Testament Bible-believing church, and I'm serving God with the gifts and the talents that He has given me to serve God in the local church. Praise the Lord. Just getting better and better. Amen. Well, I'm a born-again Christian. I know Jesus as my Savior, and I've been baptized. I'm part of a local New Testament Bible-believing church, and I'm serving God, and preacher, I have a desire for souls. I want to see people get saved, and as God is my helper, I witness to people, and I want to get people to Jesus. Now, have you made it that far? Have you made it up to this point? Now, if you haven't, I'm not here to shame you now. Please don't think that. Who am I to shame you? I'm just telling you what biblical expectations for our lives are for Christians. We're believers. And the Bible has some commandments and some guidelines for people who know Jesus as their Savior. And so far, I've outlined some of the things that God expects of us. Now, if you've made it to the point that we've discussed, I wonder if you would be able to say this, you know, I'm involved in those things, and I could get better, preacher, in some of those areas. And you know what? Couldn't we all? You know? Now, that doesn't excuse the fact that maybe we're not, but couldn't we all? But I want to ask you this. Remember last week we talked about the ways of God and the acts of God or the works of God. And we used this passage of Scripture here in Exodus in chapter 33, where Moses has said, you know, I know your grace. You've shown me your grace. But and I want you to look again at that verse in verse number 13. He said in Exodus 33, verse 13, he said, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now, now that I found grace in thy sight. You see what he's saying? Since I have found grace in your sight, Lord, you have shown me favor. You have extended your grace to me. Now, I want to go beyond that. I want you to show me your way. God, I want to know your way. And he even said why he wanted to know God's way. Moses, why do you want to know God's way? Look what he said. That I may know thee. Now, do you think Moses knew God? Well, sure he did. He was talking with him. He had, as a matter of fact, he just got through, if you'll look back with me, in verse number 11, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Moses knew who God was. But what Moses is saying, he said, I want to know you in a more intimate way. I want to know you. I just don't want to know about you. I want to know you. Now, I want to help somebody today. Actually, I have received great help from this passage of Scripture through years, but God has given me even more help. And to God be the glory. I certainly don't deserve it, I can tell you that. But I wonder if if there's somebody here that says, you know what, preacher, my Christian life is just, it's just all over the place. Man, I'm hot one moment and cold the next. I'm a firm believer. My faith is strong one moment, and then I find myself in the sin of unbelief the next. I just need some stability. I need something. Well, I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures before I build on what we did last week, but I find this very important. I prayed about this. God, do I want to do this? Or is this what you want me to do? And I'm just convinced that God wants me to remind you of a couple of things, okay? I want to give you some commentary on what's happening here from the Bible, some Bible commentary. So what's going on here? Moses is saying, God, I want more. I want more. Now, you have given me a proposition, and we're going to look at that proposition here in just a moment. The proposition is, and I'm going to sum it up, but we'll get in detail if the Lord wills a little later in the message. The proposition is this. Moses, you go on now into that promised land. I told your forefathers, that land was yours. I gave that land to you. Now you go on. I promised you some things when I brought you into my grace. Now I want you to listen carefully because God's speaking to you through that. God's speaking to me. God promised me some things when I came to him. He said, now when you come to me, there's some things that are just a part of the grace that I'm going to extend to you. And he said, now you go on, because I'm a God of the covenant. I'm a God that keeps my word. Now you go on, and you leave those people. You go on to that milk and honey, and I'll not let those enemies defeat you. I'm going to drive them out. And he names them all right here, brother. He names all of them. He didn't leave not one single unit out. Those Canaanites, that whether it be the Jebusites or the Hittites or the Girgashites, he didn't leave any of them out. He said, I'm going to take care of all of them. You go on. But I'm not going. And Moses said, no, I don't want that deal. Do you know God gave me a deal like that? God's giving you a deal like that. You can go on through this life. You're saved. You're mine. You're my child. And you can go on in life without this intimacy with me if you choose. But it's your choice. If you want that, go ahead. Listen, God laid this out. Read this sometime. God laid it out. Go on. I'll send an angel before you. Matter of fact, got to see it. I don't know that I wanted to go this deep into it, but if you'll look in chapter 33, verse 1 and 2. Now, you know the backdrop of this. I sure hope you do. Moses on the mountain, getting the Ten Commandments, getting the blueprint for the tabernacle. Children of Israel brought their gold unto Aaron, fashioned a golden calf, and they began to dance and to play and to make mockery and get involved in debauchery. And they began to worship that golden calf. And God said, now, Moses, I want you to go down. And he said, I want you to tell them that I am seething with anger. And Moses interceded on their behalf. And he said, God, don't take them. God, don't destroy them. What will they say over in Egypt if you get rid of us, Lord? He interceded. And I believe that it was this intercession that was the first step of when God and Moses, when Moses was interceding with God. Now, don't miss this. God showed Moses a side of himself that Moses said, I want to know more about that right there. I want to know more about this right here. I want to know more about this. When God told Moses, you go on down, I'll see what I'm going to do. I'm going to withdraw. He said, I want to know more about this right here. I done found favor with a power. I've got locked into something. I've got to know more about this right here. I wonder if I've gotten there. I wonder if you have. And God said, you go on down. I'll decide what I'm going to do. And so he does. And then in verse number 1, look at it in verse number 30, chapter 33, verse 1. The Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and thy people. He said, this is what I'm going to do. You go on there. I brought y'all out of the land of Egypt. unto this land that I swear unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. You see that? He said, I'm going to give you what I said I was going to give you. Now watch this, verse number 2. He said, I will send an angel before thee, and will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, and one old preacher said, even the Termites. Amen. He said, but you go into that land that's flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up with you. I'm going to tell you something. I believe that just got a hold of Moses. He said, oh, no, wait, hold it, wait a minute, no. I don't want that. Now, it sounds good, doesn't it? I'm going to give you everything I told you I was going to give you, but I'm not going to be with you. Now, we're going to come back here because that's a proposition I want to leave you with. And I want you to make a decision today. Am I okay just going on and got, you know, good family, food on the table, vehicle, house, material, little money in the bank? This is, listen, I'm bringing this to this day. You understand what I'm doing? This is what God is saying. See, God is speaking today. God hasn't, listen, God's still speaking. God hasn't gone dumb on us. Listen to me now, church. God's speaking to us. And he's saying, you know what? You go on. When I saved you, I promised you some benefits. And David over there in Psalm 103 said, don't you forget all of his benefits. And God said, I gave you those benefits. And you can go on and you can proclaim those benefits. You can enjoy those benefits. You can live within the realm of those benefits. He said, but I won't go with you. He said, if you're going to just do what you want to do and enjoy my gifts, my presence, if you're going to enjoy my resources, my benefits, but you're not interested in me, he said, I'm not going to hang around. He said, but now I will keep my word, and I'll give you what I said I was going to give you. That's the exact same proposition. Would you agree? That's the exact same proposition that Moses is facing right here. We're facing it today. And there's some golden calves out there, and there's many of people that say they're Christian dancing around those golden calves saying, come on. Don't be an old stick in the mud. Don't be one of them old Baptists and feel like you got to, you know, give up stuff and you got to live a certain way and do a certain thing. Just come on and enjoy life. You can have God and the calf. No, you can't. No, you can't. God will let you choose that calf. And with that calf, you can even go in the land. Listen to me. You can have the milk and the honey. You can have the protection of God. You can have the provision of God. But God said, you will not get my presence. Brother, I got to tell you, I got to thinking about that long and hard, and I said, Lord, I don't want to be that. And God said, now you be careful, because you can get comfortable right here. Say, preacher, money and possessions don't satisfy. You ever heard anybody say that? I think I've said that as a preacher before. I'm here to tell you it does. The danger is not that it doesn't. The danger is that it does. I'm going to say that again. The danger is not that money and material things do not satisfy. The danger is that they do. And we can become satisfied with them and not him. And God's just been speaking to my heart about this. And I got to tell you, I've been doing some introspection, and I'm coming up short, brethren. Your pastor, I'm coming up short. I just want to challenge you, and I don't want you to come up short just because I am. I just thought since God asked me, I'd ask you. Where are you? Let's turn to a couple of scriptures before I get into these truths that I really believe is going to help somebody. I tell you right now, it's helped me. Now, I'm not saying I've attained. I'm not saying I've arrived. I got a long way to go, brother. You say, oh, preacher, you're just saying that. Yes, I am. I'm just saying that because I mean it. Turn, if you would, Psalm 103. Turn there, because this is where this is from, and we're going to be in Psalm 103 for a while. God is just opening up some things to me in Psalm 103. He just is. I want you to look at verse number 7, because here it is. The Lord made known his ways to Moses. You see that? Psalm 103, verse 7. We looked at this last week. See, he said, God, show me your way. I want to see your way. You think God answered his prayer? David said, yes, he did. Look at it again. The Lord made known his way unto Moses. Look at the next phrase. His acts, in other words, he made known his acts or his works unto the children of Israel. What's missing? He did not make known his ways unto the children of Israel. I can find nowhere in the Bible that the children of Israel prayed, God, show us your way. Have you ever prayed that? See, we can become satisfied with just his works and not his ways. As a matter of fact, his works are a lot more comfortable than his ways. But you will not know God intimately until you know his ways. I used the illustration last week as you're turning to Hebrews chapter 3. I used the illustration last week of our spouses. Brethren, there's just an outward way of knowing your spouse, and a lot of times we come together that way. I'm not going to embarrass my wife again. I've embarrassed her enough this morning. I didn't do it intentionally. I don't do that intentionally. But there's probably not a man in here that wouldn't say, you know what? When I first saw my wife, I thought, that's a beautiful lady. I want to marry her. There's something. But then as you get to know her, it changes. It doesn't make her less beautiful. It makes her more attractive. Did you hear what I just said? I hope you did. When you begin to know someone's ways, it's no longer shallow. It's no longer just about the way they look. It's about the person that they are. And that relationship deepens. And this is what happens with God. Over in Hebrews chapter number 3, are you there? And I have to get on because I want to get beyond where we were. There's a point that I want to get across this morning. In Hebrews chapter 3, I know that this is what God was saying to those people there, the children of Israel, because of this verse of Scripture. Hebrews 3, look if you would in verse number 10. We looked at this last week, but I just... when I prayed, God said, I want you to go over it again. Look at verse 10. It says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, not with Moses, the people. What did he show the people? His acts. I was grieved with them and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known what, church? My ways. What was Moses seeking? His ways. What are you seeking? What am I seeking? His works or his ways? God do this for me. God do that for me. God take care of this. That's his works. That's his works. There's nothing wrong with that. God never one time said, hey, listen, how dare you ask me for this? He said, I'm going to give you that. But I'm here to tell you there's something better. Amen. You know why people are not enjoying their Christianity? Why folks are saved and sad? Because all they know is God's works. When you get to know God's ways, things begin to pick up. Say amen with me. If you know just a few of God's ways, I mean things pick up, brethren. I'm going to show you from the Bible how things pick up when we begin to seek God's ways and to find God's ways. Things pick up. But did you know when all we know is the works of God, it's almost like an impersonal thing. Now, it is personal, but there's just more. If all I have is Canaan and not the presence, I'm missing something. Yes, I have Canaan, and I put emphasis on what I have, but I'm missing something. Yes, I have milk. Yes, I have honey, but I'm missing something. And those things that I'm missing is why I see it on the faces. I see it in the lives. I'm not judging folks. I see it in my own life. We're missing something. What did the old timers have? The ways of God, brethren. Yes, they had the works of God, but they had the ways of God to balance out the works of God. We have become a works-seeking generation. God, show me your works. And thank God for his works. But I'm here to tell you there's more. Look at it right here. Verse number 11, he said, they have not known my ways in verse 10, so what? I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. I don't want you to miss that now. God said, you don't have my ways. You don't know my ways. You won't experience my rest. You're going to be a worrying, listen now, you're going to be a doubting, worrying, questioning, up and down, in and out, unstable Christian until you know God's ways. This is what God is saying. You're going to want to hot foot back to Egypt every time something doesn't go your way if you don't know God's ways. You know why? Because they knew God's works. You think the children of Israel had rest? They never did enter into his rest. He swore by his wrath that they would not do it. God says, you don't know my ways, you're not going to enjoy my rest. Brethren, it's real. Are you anxious? Do you worry? Who's going to get the presidency? Who God puts there? Now cast your vote. I've already cast mine. But I'm not going to stay up twiddling my thumbs and plucking my hair out of my head. I ain't got that much left. But I'm not going to be doing that just because I'm concerned about who's going to be president. Say amen with me. We're not going to, listen, we're not going to get involved in this stuff and to where we're just worried. Are you hot and cold? Can you find yourself one day roaring like a lion and the next day meowing like a kitten? Can you find yourself one day saying, I believe God, and the next day saying, well, I don't know if God's going to come through or not. You know what? What is this, preacher? What's going on in our lives? I'll tell you what's going on. There's no rest. Remember our word last week? Tranquility. God will give you rest when you know his way. God wants to give you tranquility. Did you write that word down? Do you have tranquility? You say, what is that, preacher? It's a deep-seated rest. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. You have a rest. You know God is your provider. God is your protector. God is in the midst. God is present. Are you there in your life right now? You say, well, I'm saved. Praise the Lord. I mean that. I'm baptized. Thank God. I'm a member of a local New Testament Bible-believing church. Hallelujah. But do you have his rest? Or are you tranquil? Do you know that no matter what, God is on his throne? See, the children of Israel didn't have that. So you know what they were always doing? Clamoring. Murmuring, complaining. You been around that crowd of Christians? We're everywhere. Why? Because we know his works, but we have not known his ways. The children of Israel didn't have that rest. You know what they were doing? They were walking around in circles in a wilderness. Don't you walk around in circles in this wilderness? Listen, you plot your course, you set your destination, and by the grace of God, hook in and plug in to his ways, and you go forward onward for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. See, that's what I want, brother. That's what I put in for. That's what I'm asking God to give me. God, I want to know your ways. God, I see your works. I'm not saying that I don't appreciate your works. I'm not saying I don't need to see them. Thank God for them. But there's more. So I hope you wrote that word down, tranquility. Do you have tranquility? Or do you sit around worrying about everything that there can be to worry about? What's going to happen if this? What's going to happen with that? What's going to happen? I tell you what's going to happen. God's sovereignty. God's providence. Because our God is God and he's in control. And I want his presence to assure me of that. I need his presence. How about you? Second thing, and I hope you'll write this down, God's stability. Let's go back to Exodus just for a moment, and I'm going to give you a second word. So God's tranquility. Exodus chapter number 14. Would you turn there? What happens in Exodus 14? Well, I want to show you how unstable. I don't think I have to. Are you unstable? Now, be honest with yourself. I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying be honest with yourself. Do you read the Bible one day and then not the next? Do you pray one day and then not the next? Do you attend church on a hit and a miss? Do you witness when you're all fired up and then you can care less about witnessing when you're not? Do you pass out tracts that you hear a message on it or are challenged to do it and then go weeks without passing out tracts until you're challenged again? See, inconsistencies come when we know God's works, but we don't know God's ways. The most inconsistent people you'll find in the Bible are called the children of Israel. You know why they were inconsistent? Because God made known his acts unto them, but they never sought his ways. I'm going to show you just a couple of steps of inconsistency, then give you some New Testament thoughts, and we'll bring this for today to a close. We're not through here. I want to help you now. I do. See, God showed me, son, you need to get to know more of my ways. Now, I know some ways of God, and I'm not saying that boastfully, but I don't know near as much as I'd like to, nor that I need to. Now, I want you to look in Exodus 14. You know what happens here, right? Exodus 14. God has brought the children of Israel through the leadership of Moses under the death of the firstborn through the Passover lamb, the blood on the door lintel. He has brought them out of Egypt. He has taken them to the promised land of Canaan that he had promised unto their fathers and forefathers. And they come up on the big body of the water of the Red Sea. And they began to murmur and complain. They had already seen what God had done through all the plagues of Egypt, through the way that God delivered them out of Egypt. And you would have thought they would have said, now I want you to listen very carefully to me now. Please don't disconnect right here. Please don't do it. The devil's going to try to discourage or distract you and try to get you to think of other things and try to make you think about what's going on after church or later this week. But I'm telling you, if you'll give me about 10 minutes and plug in here, I'm going to give you a truth that I believe will help you for the rest of your life. The children of Israel had seen work after work after wonder from God. And now this huge body of water is in front of them, keeping them from what God has for them. And instead of saying, Moses, let us go across, the God that brought us out of Egypt, the God that delivered us from that bondage, the God that set us free, the God that has brought us here will carry us through. They did not know the ways of God, but they knew the works of God. And they forgot. See, when all we know are the works of God, we forget those works. We are only interested in the next work. But when we get to know the person behind the works and we begin to know his ways, we know that God is faithful, brethren. God is faithful. And they had not learned that way of God. And so what did they do? They began to clamor and they began to complain and murmur. Oh, you brought us out here in the wilderness to die. Would to God we'd have stayed in Egypt. I've met a lot of church members that way through my years of ministry. I mean, things going good in the church and people getting saved and things happening. Boy, I mean, they're, sign me up, preacher. Put me on the roll. I'm here. First little thing that goes wrong in their life or in the church, you can't find them. Inconsistent. Inconsistent. Why? Because they know the works of God and not the ways of God. And it can happen to me. It can happen to you. As a matter of fact, if you've been saved long enough, we've been inconsistent that way. What happens here? You know what happens. Moses said, stand still. You're getting ready to see something, amen? Wow. I mean, could you imagine? Just try to put yourself in that place. Could you imagine when God opened up that Red Sea, brethren? And they all went over on dry ground. Got over on dry ground. You read it sometime. I hope you've read it recently. And here come the chariots of Pharaoh. Here they come. We're going to take them. We're coming after them. Some folks never learn, do they? Some folks never learn. See, they didn't know God's ways either. See, when we don't know God's ways, we're putting ourselves on the level of the Egyptians. They went down. When you go over to Exodus 15, you'll find the first recorded song in the Bible. It is called the Song of Moses and the Lamb. Don't miss it now. You ought to read it sometime. I think it starts in verse 1 and goes down to about verse number 21, something like that. It is amazing. Boy, they're dancing, and well, they should be. Hey, man, they just came across the Red Sea on dry ground. I mean, the waters were the walls, and they came across. They just saw their enemies defeated and drowned, and they were dancing and praising God, and woo, man, this is great stuff. Let's sing. We feel like singing. They sang a song, and boy, I mean, it was great. And then you get on down in chapter 15. Now, this is what happens to people who know his works and not his ways. They still didn't say, man, I want to know more about this God. They wanted more from God, but they didn't want to know more about God. I have found myself in that situation before. I don't like myself. I don't like it there. It sounds like a good place until you get there. I don't want to be in that place. See, I don't want God to tell me, now listen, you're going to Canaan. Son, you go on. Milk and honey. I'm going to defeat those enemies. But I'm not going. I don't want that boy. We'll get back to that in a moment. Chapter 15. Look, if you would, in chapter 15. Look down, if you would, in verse number 23. So they're singing this song. I mean, one of my favorite is in chapter 15, verse 8. Where they're singing, and with the blast of his nostrils, the water were gathered together. What a statement. I mean, they said, wow, God just blew out through his nose, and amen, the blast of his nostrils, and it parted the Red Sea. You say, preacher, do you believe that? It's in this book, I believe it, amen? You better believe I believe that. I've seen some works of God, too. They're dancing, praising God, you know, like some of us Baptists. When God meets the need, when God saves a loved one, when God pays a bill, when God provides something for us, we get all excited. But now listen, 3 days later, count them. One, two, three. Dancing, praising God. Way up here on the works of God. Look at verse number 23, if you would. Are you with me? And when they had came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Are these the people that just a few verses back, a few days earlier, were singing praises to God? Talking about how great Moses was? The song is called the Song of Moses and the Lamb. Are these the people that are praising their pastor, that are praising their church, that are praising God in our day? Our church family is great. Our pastor is wonderful. This is great. Are these those people? I think so. When we're dealing with inconsistent people that only live by the works of God and have not known the ways of God. Are these the people that when God met a need, that they were saying, praise God, they stand up in the church and testify, and then when God doesn't meet a need, they can't wrap their head around it because all they've been doing is operating on the works of God and have not known the ways of God, and so now they're confused, and now they're troubled, and they say, where is God when you need him? Same place he was 3 days ago when he provided that water for you. Right. Yeah. It's just you don't know his ways yet because you've got comfortable with his works. I'm preaching to me too, okay? So don't look at me like, well, preacher, how dare you to say I'm that way? Well, we're all that way. And in case we determine on purpose to do something different, we're going to stay that way. But God, help me not to stay there. God, help me not to stay there. I mean it with every fiber in my being. I don't want to live there. I don't want to live where one day I'm up singing and praising God and 3 days later I'm murmuring. And the man of God went from hero to zero in 3 days. Moses, you're wonderful. Moses, why have you brought us out here? Verse 24, the people murmured against Moses saying, what shall we drink? If you'll read on down through here, you'll find where the people were murmuring against God and against Moses and saying, now what's going to happen to us? Would that God would have stayed in Egypt. I don't know if you can trust God when the times get rough. You hear me? You see what's happening here? You say, well, preacher, I'm not that way. Well, do you know the ways of God? I want to close with, for today, in John chapter number 2. Would you turn there? In John chapter number 2. You say, preacher, how do you get to know the ways of God? Well, let me ask you this question while you're finding John chapter 2. How'd you get to know the ways of your spouse? Did you get to know your spouse by spending no time with them one day and 3 minutes the next, no time for the next 2 days? Did you get to know your children, your parents, by spending no time with them for a week and then on Sunday opening up the scripture and hearing some stuff and thinking, well, that sounds interesting, and then forgetting about it for a whole nother week? See, that's where a lot of people live their Christian life, and it shows up in their inconsistencies. That's why it's hard for you to come to church. It's not hard for me to come to church. I'm not boasting now. Please don't. If you take anything I say right there as a boast, you don't understand what I'm saying. I love coming to church. You know why? Because God put it in my heart. It's not me. It's God in me. God has taught me some things about his ways. It's not a struggle for me to come to this place. I don't look at it as, well, we have to go to church again tonight. I look at it like I have to go to church again tonight. Amen. What a wonderful place this place is. Oh, how I need the ministry of the local church. How I need my soul fed and my heart challenged. How I need to meet with God. Are you in John chapter 2? You know what happens in John chapter 2. Jesus invited to the wedding there, Cana Galilee, turns the water into wine. Look, if you would, in verse number 23. Just so we can understand something, I want you to listen to me, because some of you, maybe the devil's trying to lie to you, and I want to expose him right here, so I want you to listen to me. So when that preacher, that was in the Old Testament, that was the children of Israel, different covenant, under just a whole different covenant, testament, and just a different setup. Well, now we're in the New Testament, and this is Jesus. And listen to what the scripture says in verse number 23. Now, you with me, John 2, verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw what? The works. They saw his works. They said, wow. Wow. Look what he can do. Look at his works. Wow. I want to get in on this. But notice what Jesus did in verse 24. When they saw the miracles which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. I would challenge you to go home and take that word believed in verse 23 and that word commit in verse 24. Same word. They believed in him, but he didn't believe in them. He knew it was all superficial. Just superficial. They got all hopped up and excited about something they saw me do. If all we do is go through life seeing what God has done and not get to know him, we're going to be a very inconsistent, flip-flopping, breathing warm air one moment and cool air the next. No peace. No stability. That's the word I'm looking for. So number one, as a matter of fact, I'm not going to do it, but I think you know this. If you go over to chapter 6 of John, Jesus tells them some stuff. My body, my blood, they went away. He actually looked at his disciples and said, will you also go away? See, when he said, hey, I want you to get to know me. I want you to get to know me. I want you to get to know my ways and not just my words. You saw what I did, and that fascinated you. But I want you to get to know me. I want you to get to know my ways. And you know what they did? They turned and walked away. They said, oh, no, no, no. What about you? You really want to know who God is? You say, preacher, I know who God is. let's take away the fact that God saved you and that God can do miracles. What do you know about God after that? How well do you know God? I'm not trying to convince you don't know God. That's not it at all. I'm just asking, do you know God by his works or by his ways? You say, well, aren't they the same? Then you've answered your question. You don't know. And so I'm just challenging you. I want to be consistent. I want to be on fire for the Lord. I want God to be the priority of my life. I don't want to vacillate and be up and down and in and out and off and on and hot and cold. I want some consistency. I want some stability in my life. I'm going to ask you to stand. I could go further, and I will, the Lord willing, when we meet next Sunday. I want you to put the scripture in your head. It's Psalm 106. Psalm 103, what did he say? He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Psalm 106, write it down, or put it in your mind, verse 15. He sent fatness unto the children of Israel, but they were lean in their soul. See, we can have the things of God and not know the ways of God. I've been guilty of it. I'm making some transition in some areas. And I'm just asking you. I'm just asking you. Do you know the ways of God? Do you pray, God, show me your way. Show me your way. I want to know your way. I want to get to know you more. I want to get to know you better. Or is our prayer lives and our meditation fixed around, God, do something for me? See, that's wanting to see the works of God. But to want to know more about God himself is his ways. And I'm just asking you to think about that. Okay? Let's bow our heads together.